So we're going to read now from Philippians chapter 2. Although this is a reading from Philippians chapter 2, I just want to read one verse from Philippians chapter 1, which is verse 27 first. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we pray for this remarkable and profound reading to dwell deeply in our hearts this Christmas. And you would give us joy, joy which comes from above to earth below. We pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you that Jesus shows us the way. Show us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So why did Jesus come? That is the key question. He came to show us what he is like. He came to show us what he's like, and he also came to show us what God is like. He came to save us, and he came to transform us. And there are ways in which we can connect into this wonderful, wonderful message at Christmas. And there are ways in which we can switch off. I'll tell you some of the ways in which we can switch off. We can switch off by going, it's such a profound thing that God would come into this earth. And we talk about it as like a philosophy or this really complex thing. And we say it's all just so complicated that, and we just leave it there. some great complex mystery. And if that's how you felt last week after my sermon, then I sympathize. It's got to touch down. It's got to touch down in our everyday lives. Another way we can switch off is by saying, it's such good news. It's such good news for everyone, the people living around us, that everyone would come to know. And again, that's true. It's not only a profound mystery, it's also a good news message for all people. And we spend the whole Christmas thinking, it'd be really good for that person, and it'd be really good for that person, and it'd be really good for my family member, and it'd be really good for my neighbor. But we don't take time to allow God to touch our own hearts. And it's only by allowing God to touch our own hearts that we will overflow with wonder. We will overflow with just a sense of, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it? Because we've taken time to allow this wonderful message to touch our hearts. It's got to touch down into our hearts. It can't sort of stay above. And this is one of the most famous pieces of art about Jesus. It's by Salvador Dali. And it's called St. John of the Cross. And many people love this picture. And many people love the Christmas story. How many times has the Christmas story been told from all kinds of creative angles? And people are going, isn't it the greatest story ever? Just like many people would say, well, this is the greatest picture that's ever been painted about the cross of Christ. But there's one problem with this picture. Can you see it? Can you see the problem with this picture? It doesn't touch earth. It's up there hovering in the sky. It is, however great the artwork may be, however much it might provoke thinking and thought, it is not the cross of Christ that is painted, because the cross of Christ is not touching the earth. And what this passage is telling us in Philippians is that we need a down-to-earth Christmas, a down-to-earth Christmas that doesn't stay as some high philosophy or mystery, that doesn't stay as some wonderful story like a piece of art, or doesn't become for other people but not for ourselves. So what is the most down-to-earth thing that Christmas could be all about? What is the most down-to-earth implication of the incarnation of Jesus Christ? Incarnation means God becoming flesh. What is the most down-to-earth implication? And we're told in verse 5, it's our relationships. It's our relationships. It's the quality of our relationships. It's how we relate to each other. Now, we know at Christmas time that around the Christmas dinner table, not everyone is speaking to each other. We know that perhaps we all have members in the family where relationships are distant and we want them to be closer. And as Christians, we need to be different because of what God has done in sending his Son. The press is speaking this week about Harry and Meghan and how the brothers are not speaking to each other. And recollections may vary as to what the truth is of the issues that they're churned up about in their family. But what this passage is telling us is that it's so important to have unity, especially amongst Christians. In chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ Jesus, that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And then in chapter 2, it says, "Since if you have any encouragement," it says if, but it really means as is the case, because it is so encouraging to be united to Jesus Christ. Whatever we're going through, if we are united to Jesus Christ, we can draw from him encouragement in all the seasons of life. And that's why when I was preparing this message earlier in the week, I was thinking about a message for those who don't know Jesus. But then as we had all that suffering, all these people being bereaved throughout this week, I started looking at the words at the beginning of chapter 2, and the word is encouragement. The word is comfort. And it's the word in Greek, paraklesis, which means, comes from the word for God's Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who draws alongside us, the one who gives us strength and encouragement and hope. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, if you are united to Christ, like the vine to the branches, you can draw from God comfort and strength and love, to know that God loves you whatever you're going through. And it's not there's no such thing as solitary Christianity. We're not supposed to do this on our own. It says, if you have any sharing together, any koinonia, any fellowship together, if you have any experience of tenderness and compassion, he's saying this is what it means to be a Christian. It is to be comforted. It is to be accompanied on the journey of life, which is so hard at times, to be in close relationship with others who you give to and you receive from. You show compassion to others and they show compassion to you. That's what it means to be a Christian. When Christianity touches earth, it's all about relationships. And he says, make my joy complete, church, by living up to who you are. Be that loving community. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or self-glory or attracting attention to yourself. That's not what it's all about. But in humility, value others above yourselves. Have a way of thinking, have an attitude which is like Jesus himself. So what is Christmas all about? When Christmas is a down-to-earth Christmas, when it's when God becomes like us so that we could become like him. Yeah, there's many other things I could say today from other passages, like he's the Savior of the world. He saves us from our sins. He reconciles us to God. Yes, that's true. But in this passage, he's saying God becomes like us so that we can become like him. So what is God like? It says in verse 5, We'll just go to verse 5 now, Ian, please. Thanks. Thanks. There we go. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So how are we going to do that? Well, he says, sorry, I'll just preach. Okay, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He's saying, do you want to know what God is like? Do you want to know what God is like? This is what God is like. God is about giving, not about getting. God doesn't try to get anything. He just tries to give. That precisely because this is what God is like, he became human. He took the form of a servant because that's what he's like. This is not about grasping. This is about giving. And it says that he made himself nothing. He emptied himself is another way of explaining that. He poured himself out. It's not meaning that he lost anything of his essential divinity. This is Jesus Christ, Son of God, becoming a human being. When it says he made himself nothing, or he emptied himself, or he poured himself out, he didn't pour out anything of his essential deity. It meant that he loved to the uttermost. Let's go back to this picture of foot washing, because this is real down to earth. He first of all goes to a stable. He's in a manger, and the shepherds see him in the manger. And as C.S. Lewis says, once in our world, a stable had something in it that was bigger than the whole world. That Jesus, as a baby, in that manger, is not the little baby, but the little baby who is also Son of God. The one that flung stars into space is the one who's in that manger. That is an incredible condescension, an incredible height that he came from. There's no one that's ever come from there to there before. It's absolutely incredible. And then in his lifetime, he goes even lower and he starts to wash the disciples' feet. And then he tells them that they should wash each other's feet. And he says to them in that same passage, by this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. So what God is doing here is he's showing us what he's like. He's all about self-giving. At Christmas time, we have family tensions. Everyone gets tired. Everyone starts to just... What is God's instruction to husbands? To love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. incredible sacrificial language, because that's what God is like, and that's what family relationships need to be like, sacrificial. So the down-to-earth Christmas is down to the manger, down on your knees, washing feet. And then it's down, down, down to the cross. He gave up all his rights when he became a human being. It says, although he was in the form of God, he took the form of a slave. A slave has no rights. And only criminals and slaves got crucified on the cross. And this is how God explains to us what humility is like. But it was his obedience to God's great plan of rescuing the world. That's why he did it. In Hebrews it says, it is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God. You know, one of the most remarkable things about God, and I was speaking with someone about this week in the coffee shop, they were asking me about the Trinity, which is not an easy question. It's a really hard question. Explain the Trinity to me, Alistair, in 2 minutes. And I said, well, I probably couldn't explain it to you if I had 2 hours. But there's one thing I know, is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all think the same. There's one will. It's not like they're having a debate like we have in families sometimes and says, okay, I'll come around to your way of thinking. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit think the same about you, about this world. And they are so in love with you. They are so in love with this world that they created. And there's nothing that's going to stop them from hatching this plan to rescue this world, because the very essence of their nature is love and giving. And we're going to do whatever it takes to rescue this world. So when Jesus comes into this world, he comes as a volunteer. He's not sort of doing it for some reward. He's not doing it because his arms have been twisted up his back. He's saying, I want to do this. I love these people that we have created. The Father is saying, you need to go and die on a cross. And Jesus is saying, yes, that is how it's going to happen. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, and I will enable that to happen. And Father, Son, and Spirit are all of one mind. And what this amazing passage is telling us is that when we become Christians, we have the mind of Christ, the mind of God, that we are brought into that relationship with God and that we can think like Him. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will worked out on earth. In your relationships with one another, have that same will of God in your mind. Whatever God wants, I want. And that's called obedience. And that's why we're called to follow Jesus, not just believe in Him. said, follow me. Follow me. Become like me. Do you like this morning what you have heard about God? When I told you this morning, this is what God's like, did it excite you? Did you say, wow, there's nobody I know that's quite like that. There's some people maybe that are very loving, but you're telling me that God is all about love and giving? Well, God's Christmas present to you is that you can become like Him. As you follow Jesus, so this is the power. This is where the power is coming from. The Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform your lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Brother and sister in Christ this morning, your destiny is secure. That one day you will see Him and you will be like Him. But He doesn't expect us just to sit there until that day. He wants us each day to be praying, to be cooperating with Him, to be asking Him to give us the power to change today. And that's what I want you to pray with me about now. That in our relationships, that we will become like Jesus Christ. Do you want your family to come to know Jesus this Christmas? The more they see of Jesus in you, the more likely it is that they're going to ask you some questions. Not always the case. You might be the most saintly, loving person, and they still might not be interested. But the strategy is, let's stay close to Jesus. Let's become more like Jesus. And let's love those around us. That is how the gospel goes out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You came down to earth. You did not stay remote. We thank You that You are the one who draws alongside us. And I pray now, as we take in this scripture, as we take in the magnitude of Your example, we ask, Lord, help us to change. Help us to become less selfish and more selfless. Help us to consider less our own interests, and to consider more the interests of others. Help us to shine like stars on a dark night. Lord, I thank You that this is happening. This is happening already through this fellowship in many ways, through all the ministries, and also in our witness to our colleagues, our friends, and our family. I thank You that it's happening already, and we pray that it will happen more and more as we first cultivate that relationship with You every day. So in this last week before Christmas, help us not only to have a busy week, not only to have a week of lots of activity, but we pray for stillness, for times of reflection and times of prayer. And we pray that your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Wonderful Counselor, will come and show us how to live and give us the power to do it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.